Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. Glad you could stop by today. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room outside here as we paint with hot rocks. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Mary Lee of Pink and Green Mama, full of ideas to expand our drawing to inspire our children. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. Usually once a month, there's a show that's just me with no interview. I hope you'll stick around. If you enjoy the show, please consider liking or commenting on Facebook or sharing with your friends. Thanks. I'll be right back after this break.
In 1966 in Anchorage, Alaska, a talented child was born. He would go on to be one out of only 11 Alaskans to make it to the major leagues. The odds of him striking out more than 3,000 hitters? 1 in 33 million. The odds of this pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fastballing philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Autism is getting closer to home. From 1 in 5,000 only 20 years ago, today 1 in 110 children are diagnosed. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The title of today's show is Mark Making, Changing the Way We Think About Writing. You're probably thinking that that's something that you've read recently. Well, you would be right. I wrote a post about that this week on playactivities.com. If you go over there, you'll be able to see an article that I wrote about that. And it's really been sticking with me. It's something that we've been focusing on a lot with all three of my children. We've been through this mark-making phase, and it's kind of the precursor to writing. When you think about mark-making and you think about writing, they're very different things and very much the same thing. So let me try and explain. There is a subtle shift from saying writing, which is more a parent-centered approach, I think, than saying mark-making, where it's becoming more of a child-centered approach. Neither are right or wrong, but we need to do more of some of them, some of us, in our homes, because we don't do enough of some of these types of activities that are child-centered. And some of us have to look at, we're doing too many child-centered activities and we need to do some parent-led ones. So this show is mostly, today, is mostly about the child-centered approach of mark-making. You must try to write something when you're writing, but when you're mark making, you're not trying to do anything. You're just experimenting. You're just trying. So that's why I like to talk about mark making for the early years rather than writing, because writing kind of gives us this image straight away that it has to be perfect. It has to be all in the same style. Whereas mark making really allows anything. Anything goes, and that's more important for an experimental child to be doing than to be restricted to just doing specific things. This podcast show is about mark making. It's not about writing. That would be another show. So I'm really going to be talking about the importance and the benefits of mark making, and not spending a lot of time comparing and contrasting it to writing. Well, that's my hope anyway. As time progresses, you can teach sharing. You can teach the way that you write something, but your love of fun and doing fun activities, you really just have to have that within you. That has to be innate. You have to have that time when you color outside the lines, when you're really creative, and when you get to do all sorts of different things. And the only way to do that is to have plenty of time, plenty of opportunities to experiment and be creative. So that's why we should be doing more mark making rather than just writing. You get to use your imagination. Whatever is going on inside your mind can just kind of come out in the way in which you want to do it, and not the parent-centered or teacher-centered way where we are expecting them to do a specific thing. There's a time and a place for that, but there is a time and a place for mark making as well. So why was I talking about mark making today? Why this show now? Well, last week's show number 94, was on drawing with Pink and Green Mama, and she talked to us about repetitive drawings that you have to do. And I mentioned a little red car that's pretty famous at the moment that my son loves to have drawn for him over and over again. He's getting a little better about that. And he wants a few other things that he's kind of gone into, shapes as well now. He's got a bit fixated with shapes and likes me to draw a square. And I keep drawing diamonds for him, and he keeps telling me that my square has fallen over. It's quite funny. And I've had a few conversations on Facebook and Twitter about it with other people to see what other drawings they had that they had to keep drawing for their children. And it's really funny. Renee Stewart says that she has to draw balloons for her daughter so her daughter can add the strings in on everything. Rachel Carter, she has to draw circles, and interesting as well, her daughter wants to change the circles into pigs. So she draws a circle and the daughter changes them into pigs. Carla Banyan has to draw horses with the whole family on its back and a dog beside it and another one and another one. Yodeling Mum's daughter is fascinated with mermaids, and Faye Carlisle is often found drawing trains. You know, I guess we all have in common this fact that our children want us to draw specific things. But when you change the word from writing to mark making, it completely changes the whole way that you're doing something. I don't know, it just seems that there's just a lot more that you can do. Maybe it's just perception. Isn't writing just specific shapes that make a specific letter? Then those letters have to be in a certain place, a certain orientation. But if we're mark making, we can do whatever we want. Almost anything goes. So mark making for me really starts at a young age. It starts with the young children. When they're in the high chair, when you have the yogurt, the applesauce, the pureed dish of the week, whatever it is, their hands are straight in there. We've all seen it, exploring the texture between their fingers. They become the scientists of, what happens if I push it over the edge, wipe my hair with it, throw it, fall asleep in it? We encourage this type of play with finger painting. Then instead of yogurt, you start thinking of other liquid, runny, semi-solid stuff that they can move their fingers through. Yeah, my oldest was not very keen on touching squidgy, squashy, wet things at all. He was Mr. Clean. Slowly over time, he's changed, and he quite enjoys mark making now. I remember one hot summer's day when we were living in Italy. We were outside in the shade of the house, just the way it was sitting, and it was just too hot to be inside, and it seemed it was too hot outside, but being in the shade, it felt a lot better. We had the little water table going over there on the side so he could go and do that, and we bought a blanket. We were sitting on the rug. We got some paints out because we were doing some painting on the easel, and the phone rang, and I could see where he was and what he was doing, and it was a portable phone, but I had forgotten to bring it out with me, so I just dashed back inside to get the phone and bring it back outside where we were. And in that time it took me to walk inside, run inside and get that phone, I'm sure you can guess what would happen. But he decided to grab the paint and started painting his leg. Now, I can imagine that that paint must have felt very cool and very cool, both cools, on his leg, as he could see that his usually brown leg was turning a blue colour, and it was a really bright blue colour. Part of me wanted to stop him because he was sitting on a rug that I didn't want to get all mucky. A part of me was fascinated because this was one of the first times that he was actually putting something squishy, wet, all over himself. So I was excited as well as worried. And so I kind of took a deep breath and finished my conversation and kind of went over to see him. And I could see him searching my face to see, like, am I going to get into trouble for painting myself blue? He didn't. And he really enjoyed it. And of course, like every good mother, I took a photograph, and I'll include that photo in the show notes. Because I was so excited. I was really excited for him and how it was. And he really enjoyed it. And, you know, I think if I had had better guts, I might have painted myself blue. It looked very cool. I'm telling you, it was very hot that day. Luckily for us, just inside our front door was a downstairs shower. So he could literally just pad on in there and shower off, which he loved to do with all the swirling blue that was going straight down the plug hole. But it's just really interesting. There are just odd times that you can just do this type of mark making. I mean, what possessed him to just start to paint himself? But you could see he was really using the flow of the paintbrush and moving it up and down his leg. Maybe it was some form of massage, I don't know. But he could feel the sensation. It was all that sensory feedback that he was getting from it. And he was just totally fascinated painting something blue and the effect of what he was having with that. He was having fun. If we fill in the blank, what would your child say if they could? When I write, I use... Popular answers are pen, markers, crayons, colouring pencils, right? All of those things our children use with their fingers. So in order to write, we need some control of their fine motor skills. It'll be a little strange to hear instead, when I write, I use my feet or my elbow. But you can totally do this with your child when you are mark making instead, because you're making marks. So imagine this, bare feet in water on a warm day. Now walk on that concrete and leave a watery trail. Mark making. Elbow in the custard or pudding or yogurt. This is deliberately putting your elbow in the custard, pudding or yogurt, and make a shape. Make different patterns on the paper. Mark making. You see, mark making can be used with any part of your body, whereas writing seems to me to suggest using your fingers, sitting down and working, for most of us, from left to right. I know many of you are saying, but they have to learn to write. Yep, they do. They also would benefit a lot from multiple experiences to create and work on that scientific paper that constantly have running in their minds. The what happens if I do this? So which comes first? Mark making, I think, as it's fun. You know, my oldest wasn't keen on mark making, as I mentioned before. We've had a lot of sensory issues. I've talked about this before in a previous show. Being the first, and of course, I had massive amount of time, as you do then when you have one child, we sat and played together. I would mark make, and he would watch. He was close by, right next to me, and his favourite phrase was, "Mummy, do it, mummy, do it." He was totally happy for me to do it and derived much pleasure from me doing the activity. I'm sure he thought that I got the colouring things out, I got the paints out, I got the yogurt out for me. I'm sure he thought that it was what I did. And it took a long time for him to pluck up the courage to get close enough to do these things himself. So even if it wasn't a specific activity that we set up to do, we decided to do include him in the everyday things that we normally did and just encouraged him to kind of join in. So there was a lot of, can you just squeeze this in there for me, please? And could you wipe this up with the paper towel? All ways to kind of get him into contact with substances safely. And they were things that we would usually do anyway, so it wasn't a contrived situation. It just meant instead of me doing it, he was doing it. Sometimes he would get a little lost because he would start playing around with the substance that he had or squashing it in his hands. And then he'd kind of remember he wasn't supposed to like it, or something happened and he just didn't like it and he needed to have clean hands, and he needed to get clean. But slowly, slowly, with a constant stream of activities, from making pizza from scratch and putting on the cheese and the sweet corn, mummy's favorite, he got less worried about how it was going to affect him, and he was able to go much longer. To start with, you know, putting the cheese on, it'd be put a piece of cheese on, wipe your hands. Put a piece of cheese on, wipe your hands. Put a piece of sweet corn on, wipe your hands. And it got to be that he could put two or three pieces of cheese on before he wiped his hands, till it got to the point where he could get all the way to the end. And you could see him holding his hands up, kind of in horror, like, I really have to wash my hands now. And so he was learning that control. And at any time he could stop. It was never forced, but it was encouraged. There's plenty of opportunities for him to try it out and for him to have experience of it. It's something that he could do, and I had to give him the experiences to do it. So mark making is about creating. Writing is about producing and reproducing. And since we're the sum of our experiences, we need to have a lot of creating time in order to produce and reproduce. So that will mean lots of fine and gross motor skills to refine. So as a mother of boys, I found with my boys that their lack of focus, their huge activity and big movements just didn't fit in with my ideas of what writing should be. But they did with mark making. How do you get busy, active boys and girls who don't want to sit still to write? Well, you encourage mark making first. They could concentrate when it was fun. We just had to find some fun things to do. So you remember those in doctor's offices, I don't know if you have it in yours, but certainly where we were, we had those big kind of like magnetic tables where you had the huge magnets underneath the table, and you would find all these boys underneath there trying to make patterns on the top. Some are underneath, some are looking on top, trying to move animals and all sorts of things that they have inside of there. We tried magnet games with the wand, you know, the special wand that you hold in your hand, and try and move the mini magnet balls along the wiggly path to the new area. You know, the focus concentration of holding this board as they try to move things underneath the plastic mat. We did painting the back fence or wall with a large brush and a bucket of water. And watch how they try to keep a continuous flow of water, and the amazement at the science of the disappearing water on a hot day. They can have painted the whole row and then come back to look at their handiwork and realize it's all gone. It's one of the reasons I wrote the book Everyday Alphabet Activities. All active alphabet activities with a lot of mark making fun going on. I've talked about that ebook in the show number 69. So go back and listen to that show if you have a wiggly jiggly toddler or preschooler and want to use that energy in alphabet activities. Where do you write? On a table? Inside the house? On your lap? Where can you mark make? In the garden? In the woods? On the floor? On a wall? On the baseboards? Now you'll have to listen to show number 94 to understand that comment. So have I convinced you yet that mark making is fun and one of the best precursors to writing? Because they will need to be writing. And depending on where you live in the world, some will be in full-time school at just over 4 years old. See, my youngest is a summer baby, and he will start school this year less than 2 months after his fourth birthday. His brothers all started way past the 4.5 year mark, and the temptation is to try and speed him up because he's starting at a much younger age. But instead of doing that, we're providing him with lots of opportunities to mark make. And he guides the way with how much drawing, how much writing, how much mark making we do. Oh, don't get me wrong, he sees the letters, he says letters, he wants to trace letters as he has brothers, and he recognizes that letters and words are important. He finds letters in everything. And that's our job to encourage him. He'll stir the pancake mix and try and make an O and tell me all about it. He'll demand his initial on the finished pancake, and woe betide mummy if I do the letter wrong, which happens often. Have you ever tried doing that syrup stuff really quickly? Sometimes it just all blends together. We borrow the shaving foam and we roll cars up and down, and he'll point out a T or an I. I'm just happy to try and bury the cars of a good old game of hide and seek if we're playing it together and he wants me to do something with him. But he's happy to seek out letters where he finds them too. We have a bunch of those pipette droppers left over from the superhero party that both our older boys have had. And if you leave water, an empty fruit cup, we eat those fruit cups, and so we have the plastic ones left behind, and so we collect them for art activities. So if you leave the empty fruit cup with a little water inside, one of those droppers and a kitchen paper towel, and put it on, or a newspaper, and if you go away and leave your curious, inquisitive child, they soon whip on that what happens if hat, and they're away. They're mark making. They're looking at the dropper and wondering how it works. Sometimes they'll just be able to work it. Maybe they've seen you use it before. They're mark making, especially if the color of the water is the water that you had in the painting water, which is all a different color now. As you add it to the newspaper, they'll watch how it spreads. And if you've got ink that you've put onto the kitchen towel, you can do tie-dye kitchen rolls. So now you've got an idea about mark making, I'm going to list a few ideas that you could do. Flattening a large cardboard box and working on the floor with it, or pinned to the wall and going horizontal. Using the kitchen brush instead of washing up dishes, you could use that or the dustpan brush to make pictures, and they will soon realize that they can flick and spray those brush ends. You can paint on plastic supermarket bags, if you still have them. You can squash them together and screw them up and open them out and see what shapes and marks that you can make with that. They can use their fingers, their hands, their whole bodies, their feet. Cotton buds. Usually we have plenty of cotton buds left over. We can raid the bathroom and dip those a little in water and draw on blackboards. Lots of us have those little blackboards that we have left over. Amazing marks you can see when you use those. What about the mop? I don't know about you, whenever I mop the kitchen, the youngest one always wants to join in and help. It's never helpful at that time, but he still wants to do it, and sometimes he gets to help. But what about a time when you don't need to mop, or even a time you do need to mop, and you're happy for them to help? Give them the mop and let them mop around. Get some nice clean water and they can mop to their heart's content. Moving around that really big brush. What about shaving cream? Squeezing the shaving cream between your hands. It's pretty amazing when you squirt that stuff, and it's that whole sign, that whole sound of, and then how it just grows in front of you. You can colour it, you can do all sorts of it, and they get their hands inside of it. And if you choose the shaving cream that comes into the house, you can have some really nice smelling house after that. Because when you clear away the shaving cream, you have a really nice smell that's going on. There are lots of scentless versions as well, if that's what you prefer. There is a one-to-one activity of bleach patterns that I would love to recommend to you. Use dilute bleach on black tissue paper and using the droppers again or a paintbrush. You can do the same with folded coffee filters, but it's something that you have to decide to do with them, because obviously you're dealing with bleach and dilute bleach at that. So that's something that you really have to work with your child and never leave them alone to do it. But you can get some amazing, amazing pictures with those and marks. An unusual form of mark making that we don't necessarily think of is a mark that doesn't leave a mark. That would be a good riddle, wouldn't it? Well, a mark that doesn't leave a mark is a torch. Why don't you get some torches and go into a dark room, but a familiar room. It doesn't have to be really, really dark, but dark enough that the torches can work, and play I Spy. And so you can say, I spy the TV, and everyone has to shine the light on the TV. I spy the clock, and everybody has to shine the light on the clock. You're still mark making. I've always liked to try and write their names using the torch to make letters. Sometimes we do follow my light, a bit like follow my leader, but one person has the torch and they make the decisions about where everything goes and everybody else has to follow it. Then there's using what we already have. We get steamy bathrooms after that big hot bath or the long shower. Hold them up and let them draw on the bathroom mirror. Yes, we have to clean it again because of their finger marks, but it's so much fun. Or bring in a small mirror that you have, a portable mirror that you can use another time. You can take that mirror and take it out once they're changed, and you can experiment drawing on there, mark making. Once you get thinking, you can find mark making activities everywhere, all around the house. Many just present themselves to you and don't require you to do anything like a massive setup or cleanup. If you're the crafty type and fancy making a magic paint board that you can reuse over and over again, I have a link to For Real's Mum and her tutorial on magic paint board. I'll leave a link for that in the show notes. There's also a fun Q-tip idea. After the kids have been creative with the Q-tips after a while, and you take them out again and again and again, they might begin to get a bit stumped and think, oh, I don't know what to do with this, and be a bit bored and just want to throw them and not really do very much with them. Well, there are so many different things that you can do with a Q-tip. And another session from the craftycrow.net, she does a creative painting experiments with Q-tips. So she has some ideas about what you can do with that. Quick side note about time. Mark making can take a really long stretch of time. An afternoon. An hour. And some kids will breeze through a task or be frustrated by the creativity of it, especially if they're not used to this type of play. And you've set up the activities and in 30 seconds to 2 minutes, they're done. That frustration is our frustration, not necessarily their frustration. Little and often. It's why painting areas are set up in a preschool. It takes a while to get it set up, and by the time you turn around and empty the water, they're done. And so instead of us having the frustration about it, it's okay to sit and stay with them and help them go a little bit further than what they did before. So let's say you have a 30-second child who wants to spend 30 seconds doing it. Before they get to that 30 seconds, you could sit with them and kind of extend them a little bit, see if you can get to 45 or a minute. And continue to do that type of activity with them at different times. Maybe the next time you won't have to, maybe you will. You don't always have to sit and stay with your children when they are doing mark making. Sometimes you will want to oversee what they're doing and just kind of see what they're doing. And sometimes it's actually really good if you can be busy doing other things and they can just get on and be creative. Now, them being creative doesn't mean that you ignore what's going on. You want them to be safe, but for them to realize that their activity is their activity and your activity is your activity. I know my son loves to invite me to do everything with him. And I do things with him, but he also needs to just keep going and not need the validation from me to do things and just to kind of enjoy it. As time increases, they will really enjoy the mark making. Allow them time to be creative. Give them the opportunity, even when they say that they're done and they've gone off for something else, maybe you still leave the activity there. They probably will come back to it. Try not to start all the activities or show them in a book, this is how you're supposed to do it, or do it like this. Sometimes just having the activities there and just letting them discover it, maybe after a nap, or in the morning as they come down, or while they're doing another activity, you can set it up. And you can pretend to busy yourself nearby. That's often not difficult. If you're in the kitchen cleaning up after breakfast or any other meal, you can set up an activity for him or her to be doing while you're doing the other tidying up stuff. So you are pretty busy and you're nearby. You can ask them to make something for a family member. You can take pictures of their creations to show their siblings, their friends and their family. It's a good point to start a conversation with. Our camera was full of mark-making activities that our children could tell their dad about when he was home from work. With all three of my children having some form of speech delay, it was tricky when they just started talking for anybody else to understand what they were talking about. Many children have this problem and they don't even have speech delays. My children sounded as if they were completely speaking a different language. So unless you had the context of what they were talking about, sometimes it was really tricky to understand what they were saying. And it made it all the easier to have a camera or a slideshow on the computer to show, and they could talk about what they were talking about, and at least you had some idea about what they were talking about. I don't want you to go away with the idea that I'm against writing in the under fives. I'm not. I feel strongly that there's a progression. Just like little girls want to wear makeup and little boys drive cars, we all want to do things quicker and faster. And sometimes that causes us to miss steps out. And in missing steps out, it doesn't always show up straight away in what our children's doing. And the problems that it causes don't happen to every single child. Mark making should be a strong, consistent and regular part of playtime. We need to harness the big movements and control the little movements, and not necessarily in equal measure, but to the needs of our children, so that when it's time for writing, they have a rich background of experiences, practice and skill building to enjoy the process of writing, which, let's face it, is boring, hard and hurts your fingers the first couple of times that you're doing it. Okay, I hope you're all excited now about mark making. I have just started a Pinterest board that you can look at for some activities to try, for you to set out, for you to encourage if you're looking for some visuals and some camaraderie. I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Marie LeBaron, author of Make and Takes for Kids, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back. I want to say a big thank you to our latest iTunes review from Jeff Francis, who says, "This podcast is wonderfully executed, excellent guests, thought-provoking questions, and relevant topics for anyone with kids 0 to 5. It's very helpful to have practical tips on play that you can immediately use in your home." Thanks, Jeff, for the feedback. There are two ways that you can support the show on iTunes. One, by rating the show by giving us 5 stars, and two, by writing a review. I haven't mentioned our voicemail recently, as it's free and it's on the site. So you can go to raisingplayfultots.com, and on the right side is a long blue badge. If you click on that link, no matter where you are in the world, you can click and record a free voicemail. Yay! So I won't answer, but you can record a message for the show. Tell us about an experience, how the show has helped you, relay a story or an activity for the first part of the show. You know, that plenty of room quote where you have to finish. Oh, yeah. Before I forget, This week I mentioned hot rocks when I said plenty of room at the very beginning. This is such an amazing activity to do. Heating up rocks or stones and using a crayon while the rock is still hot to paint on. The crayon becomes a paint as it melts as you are drawing on the rock. Definitely a fun and supervised activity. The pictures are something to be seen. You really have to see how amazing these stones actually look. That's a really cool summer activity to be doing. I'll leave the link for that in the show notes. Lastly, today was a bittersweet day. My last little guy isn't so little anymore. We've got our "You've been accepted into your local school in September" letter, and my little guy will be going to school. The last one, the third one of three. I have so many feelings about this one. Has anyone else got their last one going to school in the next academic year? Love to hear from you. Thanks for hanging out with me today as I talked about why we should be encouraging more mark making. I hope I've encouraged you enough that you'll do more than just listen to the show and go, nod your head, but you'll actually go find and do something with that lovely tot of yours. Take care, and I hope to hear from you soon. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 95. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!